Welcome to season 6 of the Irish Baptist College podcast, Let's Talk. This season is totally unscripted, so all we have is a tub of questions. So if you're watching, you can see those. If you're listening, maybe you can hear those. A tub of questions. We don't know what's in there, so we're going to pick them out, have a read at them. We might not answer every question we pick out, depending what it's like. And Matthew, who's with us in the room, might find himself editing a lot of answers. But to help me with this today is our New Testament lecturer, Dr. Peter Firth. So good to see you, Peter.
Thank you, David.
We're recording just off the back of study week. So did you have a nice break over study week?
Yeah, not bad. I mean, I was in college for the first 3 days doing some background reading for up-and-coming meetings.
Okay.
And then the last few days of the week sort of helping my daughter.
Okay, good.
Who recently announced that she's now pregnant.
Okay, breaking news on the podcast.
Yes.
Well, congratulations.
So we're sort of getting her house sorted out.
Okay.
And doing the odd jobs around there and so on. So wee bit of DIY for a couple of those days.
Great.
Which I don't mind doing because I think it's a pleasant distraction from reading all the time.
Yeah, for sure. A rest is not necessarily doing nothing, but doing something different.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yes.
Excellent.
And something you enjoy as well. I mean, I do enjoy it, so it's good.
And will this be the first grandchild?
No. This is number four.
Number four.
Three girls. So we'll wait and see.
Okay.
Yeah,
great.
Yeah.
Excellent. Well, congratulations on another addition to the family.
Thank you.
Okay, well, let's dig into these questions and we'll see what comes out. Okay, we've got an easy one to start with, Peter. Would you rather always be 30 minutes early or 5 minutes late?
Oh, I like to be early.
Yeah.
Like to be. I don't like to put myself under unnecessary stress.
I think I feel the same way. So,
yeah. Actually, just on that point, a former principal of IBC, Dr. Ivor Oakley.
Okay.
I'm going back to the 1980s.
Yeah.
When I was first at IBC, along with Edwin and some other guys that you'll be aware of. But Ivor Oakley had this saying, punctuality is the virtue of kings. So he did drill into us the importance of punctuality and not to be late.
Yeah, I'm in the same. I would be, very anxious to be arriving 5 minutes late to everything instead of 30 minutes early, for sure.
Especially when it's an airport and you're about to go on a flight.
Yes, well, there's some things you would miss completely if you are 5 minutes late, for sure. So
that's true. That's true.
Great. Okay, changing gears. A massive question now. Let's see if we can answer this. What is the biggest theological issue facing the church today? I don't know if there is the biggest theological issue. Maybe you want to answer what is a big theological issue facing the church today?
I think it's a difficult question just to answer because, you know, it depends where you go in the world today.
Yeah, that's an important feature of that question.
You know, so are we talking about the West and what part of the West are we talking about?
Mm.
And so on, so many big issues and are not necessarily the same.
Yeah.
But I suppose one of the big ones is the gender issue that's taking place, and you have artificial intelligence issues, things like that.
Yeah. Yeah, there are huge
where you wanna go.
Social and ethical issues. Yeah, yeah. But yeah, important. Yeah, clarification on that. Just that might be the biggest issue we're facing in the West, but the African church is facing very different challenges, and the Latin American church is facing a different set of challenges as well.
Yeah, I think that's, you know, unfortunately, we're a wee bit parochial in our thinking over here.
For sure.
We forget about that.
For sure.
What they're facing and the challenges and so on. So, yeah.
And I do think there has to be a bit of balance here, because sometimes people love the kind of theological debates and, you know, what's the biggest theological issue facing the church broadly, but there's lots of personal individual challenges facing people in our churches, and you don't want to lose that either. You got to address those and help people with quote-unquote ordinary difficult theological issues, you know, within their family, workplace, even just personally.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And yeah.
For a pastor, that's what you're called to do. Pastor the people in front of you, not
yeah.
not the world through social media.
Yeah. And I mean, that involves too, you know, getting alongside people and finding out where are they at.
For sure.
Spiritually.
For sure.
Theologically and other ways too.
We're changing gears a little bit. You're going to be dizzy by the end
we're
of this,
the
Peter.
We're not the duck one, are we?
Yeah, you've heard rumours of the duck questions. So you're maybe a good person to ask this question because you've known him quite a long time.
I have.
What is Edwin's favourite word?
Oh, there are so many words when I think of Edwin. Oh, dear. Yeah. Which one will I choose? Depends on the audience, doesn't it?
It does depend on the audience, okay. Yes.
Well, outrageous is one that he would repeat quite a bit. This is outrageous.
Excellent. Yes, I can concur. I've heard that.
You've heard that one?
I've heard that several times,
okay,
yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. Maybe we should actually compile a book.
Sayings of Edwin.
Sayings of Edwin.
New York Times bestseller.
I think so.
Yeah, very good.
Yeah.
Okay, what's your favorite TV series that you could watch over and over? Do you have a favorite TV series that you could watch over and over?
One of my favorites was West Wing. I really enjoyed watching West Wing.
Yeah.
And I could certainly go over that again and again and again. I just thought,
that's excellent.
Script writing is brilliant. The acting is fantastic.
Yeah.
Really enjoyed that.
Super. You know. We're going to show our differences in character. I love The West Wing as well, but I think what I would have to pick is Fawlty Towers.
Oh.
I could watch that. Even though there's only 12 episodes, I think I could watch that on a loop.
I think so.
John Cleese, comic genius, for sure.
That's right. I think if it's comedy or after and humour, it'd probably be Dad's Army. I just find that.
Okay, we're similar tastes,
so
Peter.
Funny.
We're similar tastes.
Yeah, I love those things, you know. And it's all pretty innocent stuff, isn't it?
Yeah.
At the end of the day.
Yeah, for sure. Do you play any sports? So I know you did play. So what sports did you play?
Yeah, well, you know, as a schoolboy, I played just about everything that I could.
Okay, yeah.
Play. I wasn't that good at rugby simply because I was quite thin and wiry, but I could run very fast, so that helped if I was put on the wing. Most of the time I wasn't put on the wing, so they decided to put me on at scrum half, and that suited me quite well.
A good bit of protection there.
I had plenty of guys to protect me, although there was one or two occasions where it wasn't the ball that was picked up. I was picked up and thrown about. But no, I suppose like many young boys of my generation living in Northern Ireland, you're brought up in football and you wanted to be the next George Best. And he spent more time outside playing football than probably we should have. It was all very innocent stuff. And I probably would have continued that had I not passed the 11 plus.
Okay.
Because I ended up going to a grammar school and a rugby school at that.
No football
and
there.
Rugby was not my first preference.
Okay.
No football there, Davey, unfortunately. And cricket as well. I still don't understand the rules of cricket.
I don't think you're alone there.
Yeah, but I mean, I've played cricket and tennis and squash and badminton and a whole lot of other things. I mean, I do like to get involved in sport.
Yeah.
I've always enjoyed that. And obviously, the older you get to a situation where you have to sometimes watch instead of participate.
You've not decided to take up golf yet then?
Well, I do play golf.
Oh,
not
do you?
Very well, not very well, but yes, I've been playing golf for a number of years and I enjoy it whenever I play it. So I'll probably end up playing it a wee bit more maybe in the years ahead if all things being equal.
Yeah, I enjoy playing every sport, but golf is one I just haven't been able to turn my hand to. I think I've more chance of becoming a kind of landscape, garden landscape person. There's new bunkers on the course after I've been hacking away at it.
Yeah.
Well,
I was very fortunate when I was a pastor in Newcastle. One of the members, he was deacon in the church, had quite a high profile job with one of the car manufacturers.
Yeah,
and they did a lot of sponsoring for golf tournaments on the island of Ireland, which meant that some of the guys in the church, we would get together and have golf weekends. So
very
we got
good.
To play in some of the nicer ones.
Very good.
On the island, and there are some super courses on the island. I mean, very, very expensive, but
yeah.
we got a pass so far as that was concerned.
Great.
And so that was a real privilege.
Great.
Yeah.
Excellent.
But you need to be playing with people, I find. It's the social interaction as much as the actual
as well as playing.
Game itself, yeah.
For sure. Okay, we've maybe touched on this question already, but what duty does the Christian pastor, preacher have to speak out against the culture? Should he keep politics out of the pulpit? I think two very different questions there, but so what... In a settled ministry, preaching week by week, how much of a duty does the pastor, preacher have to speak out against the culture with the gathered church?
Well, I think you need to be obviously aware of the culture that you find yourself in. And I think... obviously, as Christians, we're countercultural.
Yeah.
And that's really where I think you want to put the emphasis. And without sort of being drawn away from that,
yeah.
I think people can sort of make up their own minds on a lot of these issues if you're majoring on the countercultural aspects of the Word of God. So I think probably where I would land on that. A quick answer.
I suppose preaching scripture, if you're faithful to the Bible, like you said, it contrasts the culture in so many ways. And if we trust scripture and rely on it, then you have your preaching against the culture and just expositing what the passages are saying. And
exactly.
God's way is different from society's way in so many.
Exactly. And I think, you know, when you look at the New Testament and even how... For instance, Paul's letters are written just how careful he is, fully aware of the culture and so on, but approaching it in a very wise way indeed and highlighting the cultural aspects of the gospel.
Yeah. Okay. What is the hope for the future of the college and Irish Baptists in general in an ever-changing world? So facing increasing liberalism, those kinds of things, what pitfalls need to be avoided? So I don't know if you're...
there's a lot there.
Yeah, and if you've got your prophetic gifts in tune
well,
here
I thought when you said,
future.
What's our hope? We were going to get on to new heaven and new earth, you know?
Well, ultimately, that should be our hope, yes.
Absolutely. Absolutely, so I'm all for that.
Yeah.
But, well, you know, certainly God knows the future with regards to the work of Irish Baptist College and so on. I think what we can say is, you know, looking back, we've observed God bringing the college into being and sustaining it down through the decades, through some very, very difficult and trying periods indeed.
Yeah.
And our hope continues to be firmly rooted in God and in His Word. And I think as we just continue to maintain that focus, God will guide us aright.
And I think it's really important whenever you think we're trying to think about the future to reflect back on what's happened and remember doing a little bit of reading about the history of the college, and it struck me that the college has seen the Easter Rising in Dublin, two world wars, moved up to Belfast just in time to then experience the Troubles, a global pandemic then a few years ago. And yet it's still in existence. And through all of those things, continue to train people for ministry. And so gives you a little bit of confidence looking to the future. If God sustained it in this way,
yeah,
he can sustain it no matter what else. If it's his will, he can sustain it no matter what
absolutely.
Else.
Absolutely. I mean, and also just through the depression years as well.
That's true, yeah.
Yeah. That God is able to provide and has shown that so many times. But it's according to his agenda, you know, he started the college, he sustained it, he knows when its work will be done.
Yeah.
And I think we just leave it like that. Yeah. God's in charge.
For sure. Amen. Okay, what's your usual coffee order?
My usual coffee order?
Yeah.
Yeah. Usually just latte.
Latte, okay.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have one because I don't like coffee. At which point I'm going to be cancelled because it's illegal not to like coffee. But,
well, you know, I do like coffee. I don't like a lot of coffee. I suppose all things in moderation. But I usually have a cup in the morning. I wouldn't say first thing in the morning because first thing I drink in the morning is a glass of water. But usually when I get into college, having got through the morning commute, I'm usually looking for a cup of coffee just to wake myself up a little bit more and face the day. I rarely take another cup of coffee after that, but I do enjoy it. And if I'm out for a meal or something, I may end the meal with a cup of coffee.
Mm-hmm. Great. And for those who are listening to the podcast instead of watching it, you could see the pain on Peter's face as he talked about the commute. There's obviously a scarring there.
Well,
so.
There's a story there too, Davey, you know, as to, that's changed as well. But
okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so apart from looking in the mirror in the mornings, who is the most intelligent person you know? Who is the most intelligent person you know?
It's very difficult to answer that question. I've met an awful lot of intelligent people, not necessarily the wisest of people. I think I put more store on wisdom at the end of the day.
Well, there's a caveat. So not necessarily the wisest person, but most intelligent person. do you have a name? Is there someone that comes to mind whenever you think about the smartest person you know?
Not initially, no.
Not initially.
No, but I have met a lot of very smart, intelligent people.
Yeah.
And I thank God for them, you know, that they have that ability.
Mm.
But sadly, not all of them would be Christians.
Yeah. Okay.
You know.
And some evidence of God's common grace with the intelligence he's graced not just Christians, but the human race with in terms of, our ability to think and reason and argue and,
I think as the years have gone by, as a Christian, the more you appreciate just the importance of wisdom and God's wisdom and valuing that. And, you know, just thinking about the place of wisdom, not only in the Old Testament, but in the New Testament as well. And I often fall back on the text in James, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives generously without finding fault, and so on. And, you know, wisdom, I suppose, is sort of God's way at looking at things and responding in a God-glorifying way.
Yeah. And responding, I think that's the key difference. You know, someone can have a vast wealth of intelligence, but have no idea how to put that into practice, whereas wisdom includes some knowledge, but also then practice and living that out.
Oh, very much so. And, you know, it's just so important for Christian leaders to be characterized by wisdom. And, you know, I think it's a mark of spirit fullness anyway. Wisdom as well. You know, we often talk about the fruit of the spirit, but one aspect I think is wisdom.
Yeah. Okay, changing gears again. Do you have a nickname?
No, I don't have a nickname.
Have you ever had a nickname? No?
I don't recall ever having a nickname. My name was shortened.
Okay.
It's obviously Peter down to Pete. But I can't say that I ever had a nickname as such. I've given people lots of nicknames.
Do you want to confess to any nicknames you've given?
But that will remain private.
Matthew, what about you? You have a nickname?
Soupy.
Soupy?
Yeah.
Okay.
Soupy. Campbell Soup.
Oh, okay. So yeah. Matthew Campbell yeah. Soup, yeah. Soupy.
That was a common one growing up in Ballam,
yeah. Okay.
And you had a lot of Campbell Soup, did you?
Well, my fair share, yeah. Felt obliged.
Okay.
Very good.
I think I'm
very
more good. Heinz, so it could be.
I think Campbell's got whatever about Bachelors in there, not Campbell's Soup still, I think.
Oh, is that right?
Don't know.
Yes. And what about yours, David?
Yeah. In secondary school, I got Ellie as a nickname. So shortening my surname from Ellison to Ellie.
And
also known as Davy Dog for the aggressiveness with which I played football in secondary school as well.
Oh,
so,
right?
So those are a couple of nicknames,
yes,
which are not allowed to be used by any students listening to this podcast. But,
well, I can take you back to one of Edwin's famous or frequent words, Hallion.
There we go. We've got two answers to that question.
There you are. There you're round in the loop. So,
okay. Would you rather be attacked by 50 duck-sized horses or one horse-sized duck? So you've heard rumours about this question.
I have rumours. Actually, I was thinking about
that. You've got it now.
That's
so
really an interesting one, yeah.
What would be your answer to that?
My answer would be, I prefer to face one enemy than 50.
But it's a horse-sized duck. Like.
A horse-sized duck. Yeah.
Well, I'm scared of duck-sized ducks, so a horse-sized duck is just... I would rather go with a 50 duck-sized horses.
Mm.
But that is a lot of horses, to be fair.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, quite a lot to deal with. One at a time.
It is indeed. One at a time.
Does it for me.
Okay, great. Well, I would... I'd like to see that fight at some point. If anybody has a horse-sized duck that they'd like to lend us, then
I would like to see
we'll
a
see
horse-sized
how that goes.
Duck.
Okay. Yeah. Our time is nearly up, so we're going to finish with our last question. Changing gears again. What is the best thing you could do to prepare before theological training? So someone thinking about theological training, what could they do now that would be helpful and beneficial for them?
Well, I suppose one of the questions I'd probably ask them is, you know, what are you doing now? What are you involved in now? What are you doing in your local church?
Yeah. Yeah.
Now?
Yeah.
I mean, is it clear to others where your gifts lie?
Yeah.
Are they encouraging you?
Yeah.
You know, or is this just something you've got in your head? Like, I think I might like to do that.
Yeah.
I don't think that's a good approach. I think you want to... sort of settle down in a situation and almost prove yourself there so that others will see, you know, this guy's a definite gift. He needs to be encouraged.
Yeah.
Have you thought about this yourself?
For sure.
What can we do to encourage you? I mean, there's just so many things you could say in answer to that question.
But that was the first thing that came to my mind. Are you involved in your local church? Are you committed there? Are you in membership? Are you serving in some way? Obviously, you maybe want to be, you know, reading some stuff, studying scripture, slightly deeper level than you might do otherwise. But are you involved in the local church? Because the presumably that's what you're training theologically to do, is to serve in the local church. So should be doing that before you train to do that. Continue to do that.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. And I mean, you spend the rest of your life studying and reading and so on. Mm-hmm. Lifelong students, lifelong learning as Christians, not true.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. There's an issue if we don't continue to learn and grow.
Mm-hmm.
Great. Well, thank you so much, Peter. I think we got through quite a few questions there. Hopefully that's been enjoyable for our listeners, but hopefully also edifying and beneficial to them. Well, thank you for your time, and thank our listeners for their time.
Not at all.
And we will see you next time. Thank you.
Thank you.